Good evening. Welcome to our study for January 5th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 20:08 hours Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green with you again. We're beginning Chapter 4 of the C-Cubed article. Chapter 4 is entitled Thutmose I, the Very Bad King Who Was Drowned. And this was before we started making titles, which were acronyms. So there's no acronym intended there from the title. Once upon a time, in the land of Midian, and here we have a map of Midian in the east and Egypt in the center of the map, with the Sinai Peninsula intervening between the two of them. And so we see that Moses, when he left Egypt, would have had to have crossed the Sinai Peninsula to get to Midian. There was a man by the name of Moses who had been born in Egypt in 1572 BCE. He had come to Midian in 1532 BCE at the age of 40 years. There he met his wife, and Moses became a shepherd, working for his wife's father, Reuel, who was also known as Jethro. As we shall see, when Moses came to his 80th year of life, he would return to Egypt and make one request of Pharaoh. I just realized we need to switch our position here. Let's go down now to where we can start that chapter again. While Moses was living in Midian and starting a family, okay, there's the text for the first part of the chapter. On the other side of the Sinai, a Pharaoh came to be crowned. This king was the third king of the 18th dynasty of Egypt. My throat just is tickling me there. The king who came to power just after Pharaoh Amenhotep I. His name was Thutmose, and his mother's name was Senseneb. In the Bible, he is simply called by the title Pharaoh. Many people have been interested in the story of this king, since in the Bible he has many disagreements with Moses. His Egyptian name may be spelled Jehutamese, or like the name Thutmose, Thothmes, Thutmosis, or Tuthmosis. Jehutamese is thought to mean in English Thoth born. And that was paragraph 1 of chapter 4 of the article Crucible of Credible Creed. The theme scripture of which chapter is from Proverbs 14:34, righteousness is what exalts a nation, but sin is something disgraceful to national groups. Our scripture for today, little children, is from Ecclesiastes 12:13. The conclusion of the matter, everything having been heard, is fear the true God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole obligation of man. Sums everything up. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. We're ready for our reading for today from the book of 1 Kings. We read chapter 10, didn't we? And now chapter 11, which is today's study in the book of 1 Kings. And King Solomon himself loved many foreign wives, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women. from the nations of whom Jehovah had said to the sons of Israel, you must not go in among them, and they themselves should not come in among you. Truly, they will incline your heart to follow their gods. It was to them that Solomon clung, to love them. And he came to have 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives gradually inclined his heart. And it came about in the time of Solomon's growing old that his wives themselves had inclined his heart to follow other gods. And his heart did not prove to be complete with Jehovah his God, like the heart of David his father. And Solomon began going after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the disgusting thing of the Ammonites. And Solomon began to do what was bad in the eyes of Jehovah, and he did not follow Jehovah fully like David his father. It was then that Solomon proceeded to build a high place to Chemosh, the disgusting thing of Moab on the mountain that was in front of Jerusalem, and to Molech, the disgusting thing of the sons of Ammon. That was the way he did for all his foreign wives who were making sacrificial smoke and sacrificing to their gods. And Jehovah came to be incensed at Solomon because his heart had inclined away from Jehovah, the God of Israel, the one appearing to him twice. And respecting this thing, he commanded him not to go after other gods, but he had not kept that which Jehovah had commanded. Jehovah now said to Solomon, for the reason that this has taken place with you, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I laid in command upon you, I shall without fail rip the kingdom away from off you, and I shall certainly give it to your servant. However, in your days I shall not do it for the sake of David your father. Out of the hand of your son I shall rip it away. Only it will not be all the kingdom that I shall rip away. One tribe I shall give to your son, for the sake of David my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem which I have chosen. And Jehovah began to raise up a resister to Solomon, namely Hadad the Edomite of the offspring of the king. He was in Edom. And it came about when David struck down Edom, when Joab, the chief of the army, came up to bury those slain, that he tried to strike down every male in Edom, for it was 6 months that Joab and all Israel dwelt there, until he had cut off every male in Edom. And Hadad went running away, he and some Edomite men of the servants of his father with him, to come into Egypt while Hadad was a young boy. So they rose up out of Midian and came into Paran. Paran, we've seen the wilderness of Paran is somewhere in the Sinai Peninsula, and came into Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who then gave him a house. Also bread he assigned to him, and land he gave him. And Hadad continued to find favor in the eyes of Pharaoh. Now this is the days of King Solomon. This is not the days of Moses, who lived long before that. And Hadad continued to find favor in the eyes of Pharaoh so much that he gave him a wife, the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tophonies, the lady. In time, the sister of Tophonies bore him Genubath, his son, and Tophonies got to wean him right inside the house of Pharaoh. And Genubath continued at the house of Pharaoh, right among the sons of Pharaoh. And Hadad himself heard in Egypt that David had lain down with his forefathers, and that Joab, the chief of the army, had died. So Hadad said to Pharaoh, send me away that I may go to my own land. But Pharaoh said to him, what are you in need of while with me, that here you are seeking to go to your own land? To this he said, nothing, but you ought to send me away without fail. And God proceeded to raise up to him another resistor. That would be resistor to Solomon, namely Rezon, the son of Eliada, who had run away from Hadadezer, the king of Zobah, his lord. And he kept collecting men to his side and came to be chief of a marauder band when David killed Syria, is the footnote here, by a correction of one Hebrew consonant. So they went to Damascus and took up dwelling in it and began reigning in Damascus. And he came to be a resister of Israel all the days of Solomon, and that along with the injury that Hadad did. And he had an abhorrence of Israel while he continued reigning over Syria. And there was Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite from Zereda, a servant of Solomon, and his mother's name was Zeruah, a widowed woman. He too began to lift up his hand against the king. And this is the reason why he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon himself, again my throat's a bit tickly, had built the mound. I'm thinking that's in Jerusalem, but I'm not sure exactly where that is. It could be on Mount Zion, I'm thinking. He had closed up the gap of the city of David, his father. Yeah, that's the city of David is Mount Zion. Now, the man Jeroboam was a valiant, mighty man. When Solomon got to see that the young man was a hard worker, he proceeded to make him overseer over all the compulsory service of the house of Joseph. We saw that he was an Ephraimite, the descendant of Ephraim, who was the son of Joseph. And it came about at that particular time that Jeroboam himself went out from Jerusalem, and Ahijah the Shilonite, the prophet, got to find him on the road. And Ahijah was covering himself with a new garment, and the two of them were by themselves in the field. Ahijah now took hold of the new garment that was on him and ripped it into 12 pieces. And he went on to say to Jeroboam, "Take for yourself 10 pieces, for this is what Jehovah the God of Israel has said. Here I am ripping the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and I shall certainly give you 10 tribes. And the one tribe is what will continue his, for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. The reason why is that they have left me and begun to bow down to Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, to Chemosh, the god of Moab, and to Milcom, the god of the sons of Ammon, and they have not walked in my ways by doing what is right in my eyes, and my statutes and my judicial decisions like David his father. But I shall not take the entire kingdom out of his hand, because a chieftain I shall set him for all the days of his life, for the sake of David my servant, whom I chose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. And I shall certainly take the kingship out of the hand of his son, and give it to you, even 10 tribes. And to his son I shall give one tribe," this is talking about Solomon's son, "in order that David, my servant, may continue having a lamp always before me in Jerusalem, the city that I've chosen for myself to put my name there." Of course, it could have been talking about Solomon, but verse 34 said Jehovah was not going to take the entire kingdom out of Solomon's hand. But the son of Solomon is the only conclusion we can draw from verse 35. Because we know what happened in the days of Solomon's son Rehoboam. The kingdom was divided at that time. and you are the one, Jeroboam, that I shall take, and you will indeed reign over all that your soul craves, and you will certainly become king over Israel. And it must occur that if you obey all that I shall command you, and you do walk in my ways and actually do what is right in my eyes, by keeping my statutes and my commandments, just as David my servant did, I will also prove to be with you, and I will build you a lasting house, just as I have built for David. And I will give you Israel, and I shall humiliate the offspring of David on account of this, but not always. And Solomon began seeking to put Jeroboam to death. Jeroboam was the one who was being promised a lasting house. So Jeroboam got up and went running off to Egypt to Shishak, the king of Egypt, and he continued in Egypt until Solomon's death. This is fascinating because this proves beyond any doubt that at some point during Solomon's reign, the king Shishak was ruling Egypt, which is fascinating because the Bible tells us that it was Shishak who came to Jerusalem in the fifth year of Rehoboam and, you know, defeated the Israelites in Jerusalem in 973 BCE of our chronology, which is year 5 of Rehoboam. And that would be, well, Solomon was reigning right up until 977 BCE in the genealogy. So Shishak, who ruled for about at least 20 years, if we add that to 977, he must have begun to rule Well, we don't know from that when Shishak began to rule, actually. That's true. That wouldn't tell us precisely when Shishak began to rule, but he's the king of Egypt that is identified as Shoshank the First, which fits all the facts very well. But anyway, he ruled sometime, we've dated him variously, depending on whether his co-rulership with the previous king, Susen, is considered as part of his rule, or whether his sole rulership is considered. We've also dated him 980 until 959 BCE, in one for his sole rule in one place. We've dated him that way, and that seems to be a very good dating for Shoshank the First or Shishak. As for the rest of the affairs of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the affairs of Solomon? And the days that Solomon had reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel were 40 years, similar to his father David. Then Solomon lay down, and similar to Saul also. Then Solomon lay down with his forefathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, began to reign in place of him. There's his son. We don't know from this how old Solomon was when he began to rule. Every other king after that, usually anyway, we're told how old the king was when he began to rule. We don't know that about Solomon from that example there of the, this is the only time where it says Solomon reigned 40 years too, I believe, in all of Scripture. I think that's the only time. And now we have Ezekiel chapter 13, I believe it is. We had four, let's see, where is it? Oh, I haven't gone there yet, yeah. I've read it in a different copy of the book. But it's Ezekiel 13, and the word of Jehovah continued to occur to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy concerning the prophets of Israel who are prophesying. And you must say to those prophesying out of their own heart, hear the word of Jehovah. This is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Woe to the stupid prophets who are walking after their own spirit when there is nothing that they have seen. Like foxes in the devastated places are what your own prophets have become, O Israel. You men will certainly not go up into the gaps. Neither will you build up a stone wall in behalf of the house of Israel. Remember, we heard Solomon was filling in the gap in the city of David in order to stand in the battle in the day of Jehovah. They have visioned what is untrue and lying divination, those who are saying the utterance of Jehovah is, when Jehovah himself has not sent them, and they have waited to have a word come true. Is it not an untrue vision that you men have visioned, and a lying divination that you have said when saying the utterance of Jehovah is, when I myself have spoken nothing? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. For the reason that you men have spoken untruth, and you visioned a lie, therefore, here I am against you, is the utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah. And my hand has come to be against the prophets that are visioning untruth and that are divining a lie. In the intimate group of my people, they will not continue on. And in the register of the house of Israel, they will not be written. And to the soil of Israel, they will not come. And you people will have to know that I am the sovereign Lord Jehovah. For the reason, yes, for the reason that they have led my people astray, saying there is peace when there is no peace. And there is one that is building a partition wall, but in vain there are those plastering it with whitewash. Say to those plastering with whitewash that it will fall. A flooding downpour will certainly occur, and you, O hailstones, will fall, and a blast of windstorms itself will cause a splitting. And look, the wall must fall. Will it not be said to you men, where is the coating with which you did the plastering? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. I will also cause a blast of windstorms to burst forth in my rage and in my anger. There will occur a flooding downpour, and in rage there will be hailstones for an extermination. And I will tear down the wall that you men have plastered with whitewash and bring it into contact with the earth, and its foundation must be exposed. And she will certainly fall, and you must come to an end in the midst of her, and you will have to know that I am Jehovah. And I will bring my rage to its finish upon the wall and upon those plastering it with whitewash. And I shall say to you men, the wall is no more, and those plastering it are no more. The prophets of Israel that are prophesying to Jerusalem, and that are visioning for her a vision of peace when there is no peace, is the utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah. And as for you, O son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who are acting as prophetesses out of their own heart, and prophesy against them. And you must say, this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Woe to the women sewing bands together upon all elbows and making veils upon the head of every size in order to hunt souls. Are the souls that you women hunt down the ones belonging to my people, and the souls belonging to you the ones that you preserve alive? And will you profane me toward my people for the handfuls of barley and for the morsels of bread, in order to put to death the souls that ought not to die, and in order to preserve alive the souls that ought not to live by your lie to my people, the hearers of a lie? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Here I am against the bands of you women with which you are hunting down the souls as though they were flying things, and I will rip them from off your arms and let go the souls that you are hunting down. Souls as though they were flying things. And I will rip away your veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they will no more prove to be in your hand something caught in the hunt. And you will have to know that I am Jehovah, by reason of dejecting the heart of a righteous one with falsehood, when I myself had not caused him pain, and for making the hands of a wicked one strong, so that he would not turn back from his bad way, in order to preserve him alive. Therefore, untruth, you women, will not keep on visioning and divination. You will divine no longer. And I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you will have to know that I am Jehovah. That's the end of Ezekiel chapter 13. And now we have, which we have not yet come to, until I go there manually, finding my way there, it's Revelation chapter 5. And I saw, John writes, in the right hand of the one seated upon the throne, that would be Jehovah, a scroll written within, and on the reverse side sealed tight with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals? But neither in heaven, nor upon earth, nor underneath the earth, was there a single one able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I gave way to a great deal of weeping, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. But one of the elders says to me, stop weeping. Look, the lion that is of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so as to open the scroll and its seven seals. And I saw standing in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb, as though it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which eyes mean the seven spirits of God that have been sent forth into the whole earth. And he went and at once took it out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls that were full of incense. And the incense means the prayers of the holy ones. And they sing a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slaughtered, and with your blood you bought persons for God out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they are to rule as kings over the earth. Once more, the kingdom of priests of Exodus chapter 19, verse 6 is intimated there. And this is, of course, Jesus, the Lamb. And I saw and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, a myriad being 10,000, saying with a loud voice, the Lamb that was slaughtered is worthy to receive the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth and on the sea and all the things in them, I heard saying, to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the might forever and ever. And the four living creatures went saying, amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. That's the end of Revelation chapter 5, the end of our Bible reading for today, little children. And we see there the Lamb, of course, refers to the fact that the Lamb is a sacrifice, as it typically was true that sheep were sacrificial on occasion under the Mosaic law. And the sheep was the one who followed the shepherd. So Jesus was a lamb in the sense that he laid down his life for mankind, the ransom sacrifice, but also he was a sheep because he followed his father Jehovah. He was an obedient person symbolized by a lamb. So that's the end of our biblical study. We've got about 3 more minutes, so we've done adequately in our time here. There's always more to say, but you know, there are so many things we could talk about. Well, there's a wonderful, video. At least one, but I haven't watched everything yet. On JW.org, the January JW broadcasting is quite wonderful. Very interesting. So that's something on JW.org in the video section, and it features an animation video too, which is also presented as a separate video. I haven't watched the separate version of it, but I've still got several things to watch of the videos. This is the time of year. It's the new year. So this is when we're thinking about regrouping, you know, for the upcoming year. We're preparing, right? And we're going through possibly some research and some recreation where we're preparing for the new year. In my case, my birthday is January 10th, so I always have had this time from round about, well, sometime in late December when all the holiday season is in progress, right up until the end of, well, until my birthday, January 10th. I've, for most of my life, or all of my life, every year, it's been a period of regrowth or recreation between those, or during that time period. And only after my birthday does sort of everything get back to normal for me. So I don't celebrate my birthday any more than we celebrate the birthday of our Lord Jesus either. But still, it's just a marking. It's a marking point. It's a marker. It's a, you know, a point in time, a birthday which you keep track of because it tells you how old you are. And so, there's still 5 more days before that happens. I'll be 67 years old at that point. And yeah, financial planning is very crucial as you get, well, for every year you get older, every year it becomes maybe even more important to plan things financially. That's the end of our video for today. It's January 5th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 20:41 hours Eastern Standard Time. I love you, and this is Gully, my chronograph wind-up watch, and my electronic watch Cassie on my behalf, saying bye for now.